Open your Bibles now to 3 John. 3 John. Hear God's Word. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoice greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, for they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us, and not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers, and also stops those who want to, and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. I had much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends, each by name. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. Holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you who are truth and love, whose truth is lovely and whose love is true, we acknowledge that we are children of our age, and therefore we are prone to divorce truth from love or love from truth. So come. Come and melt our hearts and melt our heads, that all of our resistance to you and all of our resistance to your ways would evaporate, and we would be pliable in your hand. For Christ's sake, amen. You may be seated. So here we are doing a series I'm calling Four Piece Love, thinking like of a string quartet, the four pieces there. And we've seen already the different faces of love a little bit in Philemon. We saw that the love of God is a chain-breaking love, where the love of God in Jesus Christ poured out on us by the Holy Spirit in spite of what we deserve, saturates our lives, setting us free from the penalty of sin and from the enslavement to our cultural chains so that we can set captives free. And then last week in 2 John, we saw that this love is a dogmatic love, where we can renounce the love of dogmatism and instead love Jesus dogmatically. And today, here in 3 John, we see that because of God's costly love toward us, we are now liberated to show love to brothers and sisters through hospitality, through housing fellow believers, through demonstrating costly kindness to believers who are away from home. What I hope you're beginning to see is that true love is active love. And that's actually the title of this evening's sermon. So keep your Bibles open there to 3 John, and the sermon notes are on the back of your worship guide. And the first thing I want to point out is the great dance. It's the same dance we saw in 2 John. Truth and love are moving together throughout this letter like a well-executed ballet. You notice right there in verse 1, we have it again, whom I love in truth. Love grows in that soil of truth. And John starts out the letter that way as he's writing to Gaius. But then as we look at verses 2, 3, and 4, after he's wished him well, that he would prosper and be in health as his soul is in health. He then says twice to Gaius, I see that you are walking in the truth. It makes me happy to see my children walking in the truth. And in the context of 3 John that you have already read, that walking in the truth here is exposed as loving hospitality to traveling Christians. Now, this was the ancient and the early condition of the church. Ministers and evangelists went around taking the big news of Jesus Christ to many parts of the world, and they would stop for a short respite for relief amongst believers. You see Paul doing this in the book of Acts in a couple of places. Why did they do that? Because in that day, the local Holiday Inn or Hotel 6 was a rat hole for hoodlums, hooligans, and hellions. And so opening up your home was essential for their safety and life. If you remember watching, if you didn't read, but if you watched the Lord of the Rings series, do you remember the hotel scene where, as a prancing pony, how dangerous it was just to be there? And so it was that kind of a world. It was far safer to be housed with people you trusted, with fellow believers. This opening up of our homes, of your home as an essential aspect of safety in life, was expensive. And it was inconvenient. But it was a loving way to share food and warmth and safety and brotherly love. Now keep in mind what we read last week in John's harsh words in 2 John 7 through 11, where he said there that to harbor false teachers in your house church is to share in their evil deeds, thus harming the health of the believers. Here, it's the opposite. Harboring godly teachers in your home is to share, verse 8, is to share in their good works. The normal hospitality, though, that the believers were to be showing toward one another has been threatened. It has been threatened by a fellow who has gained control of the church, there in verses 9 and 10. His name was Diotrephes. And listen, I always get messed up. If I do it in the sermon, just forgive me. I get Diotrephes and Demetrius' name backwards about half the time, so I'll try not to. But Diotrephes had gained control of the church, and he was closing the church doors to traveling Christian ministers. And so what John is doing in this letter is he is encouraging Gaius to continue to put into concrete action what he had been teaching clear back in 1 John. So look at your call to worship there from 1 John 3, verses 14 through 19. There's a great example of what John is driving at and what he wants Gaius to continue. There, John said, "We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has this world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth, and reassure our hearts before him." Notice there in 1 John 3 that true love is active love. And John is not talking about how we treat people who have cardboard signs under a bridge. He's talking about how we treat one another who profess the name of Jesus Christ. And where does he come from with this? How does he come up with this? Because he plants it there in the active love of God in his Son, Jesus Christ, who lays down his life to rescue the unwashed, to rescue the brutal, the bitter, the broken, and the shameful. The love of God, who is Jesus himself, who comes and lays down his life to make us into his own brothers and sisters so that he can share the wealth of God, the kingdom of God, the heaven of God. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians 8, 9, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." The love of God in Jesus Christ is an active love. And as His active love is filling us, John is saying, then we are going to live out that active love with one another and thus reassure our hearts before Him. So there's the great dance. But then there's the great deconstruction. Juxtaposed or set at odds to the melodic movements of love and truth that are already being performed by Gaius and hopefully will continue to be performed. Contrary to that are the actions of Diotrephes in verses 9 and 10. There's five things you see Diotrephes doing here, and I just want to point them out very quickly. First off, in verse 9, Diotrephes is driven by a desire for grabbing power and preeminence. Notice John says that he likes to put himself first. That's the very opposite of active love. By Diotrephes doing that, he is asphyxiating love, putting himself first. So there he is. His desire is to grab power and preeminence. The second thing then is that Diotrephes' drivenness has forced a wedge between him and John, and that is a dangerous place to be. I want you to hold 3 John and flip your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. I want you to see this. John says this. Notice the place of fellowship with John here and then with the Father and the Son. Look at verse 3. That which we have seen, he's talking about himself and the other apostles, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Notice what John is saying, that to be in fellowship with John and the rest of the apostles opens the door and makes the way for you to be in fellowship with the Son and with the Father. You take that coin and you flip it over, and it's the inverse. If you are out of fellowship with John and the other apostles, then you make yourself out of fellowship with the Son and with the Father. Diotrephes has put himself in a very dangerous place. He has shoved a wedge between him and John, and thus is out of fellowship. Thirdly, in verse 10, the first part of verse 10, Diotrephes' pigheadedness has polluted his talk about John. Notice that he is talking wicked things about us. Fourthly, this has further forced Diotrephes to strong-arm and bully the fellow disciples into a similar lovelessness. He's shutting the doors and he wants everybody else to shut the doors. He refuses to welcome the brothers and he stops those who want to. And then number 5, at the end of verse 10, the bitterness of Diotrephes' soul has moved him to take surgical action on the church. If they will not listen to me, then kick them out of the church, is his attitude. That's Diotrephes. And so then this is the environment that Gaius is in, and this is the environment that he is facing. If Diotrephes is booting people out of the door of the church who are trying to do the Christian thing of hospitality, then Gaius is being threatened. And what John is wanting to do is he's wanting Gaius to remain strong and to continue to show hospitality, to do the right thing in spite of Diotrephes' bullying actions, to show active love by opening his home to faithful teachers. In the words of the Proverbs, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. What John is wanting to do is build up Gaius' strength so that he doesn't faint in this environment. And what we see then is that active love, this is active love, and active love means loyal love, and it's loyal in spite of the consequences. So there's the great dance and the great deconstruction, and then you have the great divide. John is imploring Gaius not to fall into the age-old trap of fighting fire with fire, starting around verse 11. He's saying, look, don't fall into the trap of fighting fire with fire. Don't imitate evil. Imitate good. Follow something. He's laying out here something of Paul's admonition in Romans 12, verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now understand, that's a very gospel admonition because that's exactly what God did on the cross. When all evil raised its head against the Son, remember, acts as a sheep going to the slaughter. He doesn't, when He's reviled, He doesn't revile back. When He is being verbally abused, He doesn't verbally abuse back. He is not being overcome by evil, but He is overcoming evil with good. And because He did that, you have hope. And so, that's what Paul is driving at in Romans 12, 21, and that's what John is driving at in here in 3 John. Active love. Active love. Look at verse 11 then. The last part of verse 11. Actually, in the middle part of verse 11. So it says, beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Just evidencing who has got a hold of us and who has grabbed us. But then notice the very last statement, whoever does evil has not seen God. Now wait a minute, John. You said earlier in the gospel according to John that no one has seen God. It doesn't matter about evil, it's just that no one has seen God. We know that no one can actually see God. In John chapter 1 verse 18 he wrote, no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. I'm sorry, in John 1, 18, no one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side has made Him known. And then 1 John 4, 12. And so yeah, no one has ever seen God. But notice what John is saying in the Gospel and in 1 John, that even though we've not seen God, if we have Jesus, we have God. And what John is doing here is he is talking about Diotrephes. And he's saying, basically, if he persists in this, then what he's doing is he's evidencing that he has never come to know God in Jesus Christ to begin with. And so John is trying to give Gaius encouragement. Don't imitate the evil. Imitate the good. And then in verse 12, he is giving Gaius another opportunity to follow through with his act of love. He talks about Demetrius. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. Very likely, Demetrius is carrying this letter, and John has written it so that Gaius will open his home to Demetrius. Here's one more opportunity, Gaius, to show that you are walking in truth. You're evidencing act of love. In essence, that's the letter. And then verse 13 and 14, he says goodbye. And so this is a chance for us to try this on for size, to see if it's a great fit. What are some ways that we can walk in the truth? Showing that we abide in love, and thus we abide in God, and God in us. How can we love? How can we live out active love? Well, here are three things. This is not a checklist. Please do not take it as a checklist. But here's three things, and there are others we could probably come up with. The first is negatives. Unlike Diotrephes, we don't use, if we're going to follow active love and pursue that and express that because it's been expressed to us in Jesus, then we don't use, unlike Diotrephes, we don't use the fellowship to build up our own personal passion for power and prestige. Verbally or physically whopping people on their heads bullying them or shoving them around just because they're not towing our peculiar party line. Putting ourselves first is the opposite of what the gospel should be doing in us. Secondly, within our relationships with others, but especially within our relationship with fellow believers, take Paul's helpful directions to heart in Romans 12. For example, verse 18 and then in verse 21 again. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now this may mean, for example, treating Christian brothers and sisters of other denominational traditions with a greater and more active charitableness. We pesky Presbyterians are notorious for raking everybody else over the coals. And maybe if the active love of God has got us, we show a little bit more charitableness to them. Lastly, open up our homes, open up our lunch boxes, open up our family conveniences to believers who are traveling through and who find themselves in need. Let me give you an illustration, and this is not, it's just because I couldn't find another illustration, okay? Some years ago, we were living in Midland, and early one evening, one of the men in our denomination who works for the disaster relief for our denomination called me up at about 6 o'clock at night. It was just starting to turn dark. And he said to me, he said, I know you don't know who I am, Pastor Mike, but I'm in the PCA. This is who I am and so forth. Listen, I need your help. My daughter flew in there to Midland. She's actually doing an internship at a national forest down in that way at Big Bend. She got in and got in her car, and she drove out onto the interstate. She's on I-20, and her car broke down. She's called AAA, but I'm concerned for her. I know it's probably supper time for you and all that stuff, but, you know, I'm a dad. I'm concerned for my daughter. Could you go and be with her? Well, listen, being stranded on the side of the road out between Midland and Odessa, Texas, it's good to have company that's on your side. That's all I'm going to say, all right? And so Anna and I got together in our truck or van, whatever it was we had at the time, and we drove out there. We found her, and we stayed with her. And sure enough, here comes some fellow, I'll just say that, in his with his wrecker. And he pulls up, and he says, oh, I heard the call to come and pick you up and take care of your vehicle. And the longer we worked with him, the more we realized something's not right here. Finally, I looked at him, and I said, it was a good thing that we were there. I looked at him and said, I said, wait, are you with AAA? No. You called AAA, right? Yeah. Do you want AAA to haul your car off, or do you want this guy to haul your car off? No, I want AAA. You're not with AAA. No. She doesn't want you to take the car. You know what I mean? So just go ahead and pack up and leave. And right after he left, here comes AAA. We took her then, after that, we took her and got her a rental car, and off she went her happy way. Haven't heard from her ever again. But that's an example of what we can do in our day of showing hospitality to brothers and sisters as they travel through and as they're in need. Brothers, sisters, our Lord Jesus told us just hours before He was crucified to save us. He told us, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This love of God for us that is in Jesus Christ, poured out on us by the Spirit of truth, is a chain-breaking love through us. It is a dogmatic love with us. And it is an active love from us. Let's pray. We are grateful, O Lord our God, for Your active love for us, shown and displayed brilliantly in Your Son, Jesus Christ, especially as He died on behalf of our trespasses and was raised on behalf of our justification. Oh Lord our God, we know that we have sinned far more against You than anyone has ever sinned against us. And yet, You love us. Help us, oh Lord our God, to be a people who exhibit that same act of love. For Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen.